some beginnings and some ends here on Prep Sports Now today. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. We're going to get to the beginnings with basketball season. I know the season is already underway, but we're just starting to cover it here at Las Vegas Sun starting today. But first, we want to talk about football. Bishop Gorman, the ends part of the podcast. They won the state championship kind of in the same fashion that they've done all year. They were dominant, scored 72 points on Reed. Ray Brewer, you were there. What did you think of Gorman's performance?
Well, Case, it could have probably been more than 72 points. We're at the airport on the way back Saturday night. Sam Morse and I were on the same flight as Bishop Gorman. The pilot from Southwest acknowledges that they're on the plane, congratulates them on winning the state championship. However, he congratulates them on a fifth straight state championship. Obviously, it was only their third straight, but I'm thinking in my head, might as well have been five because they look so good. I don't know if anybody's ever going to beat them. They could win as many championships consecutively as they won at this pace. They were that impressive on Saturday. Anu Solomon, my favorite, as everybody knows, five touchdown passes in the first half, 277 yards. And I got to thinking, and the kid's played now in three state championship games. He probably has more touchdown passes and yardage in state championship games than three-fourths of the city's quarterbacks had this year. Ryan Smith, the same thing. Smith and Solomon connected on two long touchdowns. They're both juniors, have been starting every day since day one. And Gorman, just a dynasty right now, and we're witnessing it firsthand, ranked fifth in the nation. And Reed was supposed to be, Case, actually a pretty good team. We talked last week about how, you know, they were the Gorman of the North. You know, they were 12-1. They hadn't lost anybody up there. They'd scored almost 700 points. They threw the ball with great efficiency. At once kickoff happened, Gorman two long drives. They're up 14-0. Next thing you know, it's bam, 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 bam. The guy running the scoreboard needs a Gatorade. Exhausted.
Yeah, we thought maybe we weren't giving Reed enough credit when we had him losing like 42-10, and I don't remember exactly what our scores are, but turns out we were giving him too much credit. Gorman just absolutely dominant. This doesn't really have anything to do with the game, but I would like to say I was very happy to see you tweet. I called it. I knew DeMonte Ranch was going to be a nice facility. And you sat on this podcast and said you knew for a fact it was a dog pit. And it looked very beautiful from the photos.
I was wrong on that. DeMonte Ranch, second best high school facility in the city, or in the state, behind Gorman's for Tita Field, obviously. But nice field turf, great view, awesome location. Press box was more than serviceable. Just obviously, it's got all the bells and whistles, clearly the best high school in Reno. You know, when you think of Reno High School, you think something run down like Wooster or you know, whatever, Galena maybe. I'm totally wrong. I incorrectly ripped the NIAA. I rip them all the time for other reasons, but this time, not justified. DeMonte Ranch, great place, great environment for a state game.
Yeah, sounds like it. So Gorman wins again. Going into next year, I think they're going to be a huge favorite. I know they lose some kids, of course. Shaq Powell comes to mind, the running back. But they've got a lot coming back, too, and you got to think they're going to roll through everyone next year. I'll let you talk about that, but I also wanted to know how cold it was up there Saturday. Was it not that bad?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. Like, when we got off the plane, we got there. We took the first flight out, so we got up there, like, 7:45. And you know me, man. I hate the cold weather. So I'm, like, shivering, waiting for my crappy rent-a-car. And next thing you know, it gets real nice. I even feel like I might have got a little sunburn covering practice on Friday. But the weather not a factor. It was a beautiful, crystal clear skies, no winds, sun was out, about 40 degrees, perfect late fall day for a high school football game.
Wow, sounds like you're starting to love Reno.
I love Reno.
You won't need to move up there.
Here's the best part. I always give everybody all these stories about how every time I go to Reno, it's an absolute train wreck waiting to go off the tracks. Something out of the ordinary happens. I get destroyed at the tables. Well, this time, I did lose money playing Pie Gow, my favorite game, the game that's sweeping the nation. I advertised to Sam Morse, our photographer. I'm like, dude, you got to sit down and play this game with me. It's Pie Gow Poker, but it's like Push Gow. It's your favorite game you could ever play. You can get a few free drinks. You know, it's a lot of ties. You got to play it. And, you know, Sam is as frugal as they get. I mean, this guy, if he finds a penny on the ground, he runs and gets it in his savings account. So I get him to give me $10 to play Pigou. He gives me 10 singles. So he's putting like $5 at a time on top of my bet. Would you believe that we might have lost 12 straight hands? No ties, nothing. It was just like loss, 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 loss. You know, I'd get like a pair of threes with a jack nine, a queen high, nothing.
All right, now that we've lost all of our listeners for talking Pigou poker, I apologize. But any final thoughts on Gorman before we move on to the basketball season?
You know, I think we do a good job at the Sun, Case. We celebrate achievements of the kids, and we really don't get too involved in the politics behind the scenes. You know, whatever Gorman team is out there, we cover. And I know a lot of our commenters are like, Gorman's got all these powerhouse players. You know, anybody could go coach these guys and they could win. And I think that's absolute garbage. I've seen it before. I've seen Dave White with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Reynolds not even get past Cheyenne in the playoffs. I saw Bob Altshuler with Justin Chasen and a ton of D1 athletes get destroyed by Paolo because Paolo out-prepared him and just dominated him. And I've seen Tony Sanchez the last 3 years. And in Case, Sam and I, we covered practice on Friday. Dude, I felt like I was watching a practice for the Ohio State Buckeyes to play in the Sugar Bowl. There's meetings. Everything is planned down to the second. There's no doubt who's in control. It's just structured, organized, detailed, and he keeps everybody in line. And I just don't buy to where people say, oh, well, I could go coach this Gorman team. Look at the talent they have. I'm saying, I don't know if you would. I mean, yeah, they could win some games by convincing margins, especially in their league. But when push comes to shove, the national ranking, the state championship record, which I promise you is going to grow, it goes down to how organized they are. I'm very impressed at this practice. I've never seen anything like this in covering high school football.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a little in between. Absolutely never would take anything away from Tony Sanchez from when I've been around. I mean, easily one of the best coaches I've ever seen, especially at the high school level. But I don't know about comparing them to the past, maybe, and I didn't see those Gorman teams, but were they as loaded at every single position? I mean, Ryan Reynolds and DeMarco Murray, that's great. Those are two amazing players. But this Gorman team has almost a D1 kid at every position. I don't know if there's ever been a team that had as much talent. And I think that it's coaches. I think it starts with coaching and it's the players are that good.
Well, two things. The two coaches, White and Altshuler, before Tony Sanchez, the kids were just very undisciplined, did whatever they wanted to do. DeMarco Murray's last game with Gorman, and you could look this up, I believe he had 9 or 10 carries against Cheyenne and they lost in the playoffs. Either his junior year or his senior year, the kid only touched the ball 9 or 10 times. It's like you can't be allergic to the football. But we could talk about that, Case, till we're blue in the face. You and I, we try our best not to be too controversial, right? We try to blend in a little bit. We try to go with the obvious picks. Our Sun Super 7 preseason team came out today. The best 7 boys and girls in town as we picked it. Truthfully, the girls' team was a little tough because we're not too knowledgeable on girls' hoops. But the boys' team, I thought we had a solid 7. Sure, you can make arguments for a few guys, but the top 7 we had, I thought was great. No questions asked. Shabazz Muhammad, top recruit in the nation. Ben Carter, signed with Oregon, top 150 recruit. Roscoe Allen, signed with Stanford, top 100 recruit. Demetrius Morant, signed with UNLV, top 150 recruit. You agree those are two of the top 4, right? I mean, 4 of the top 7.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Okay. Now, Michael Loader, Coronado, big body, being recruited, maybe a little bit of a stretch. Kentrell Washington, transferred from Western to Clark, averaged 20 points as a sophomore, 17 as a junior. Point guard, you can make arguments that maybe there's better players. Kid put up great numbers, and he was one of the better players in Gorman's league. And then Julian Jacobs, who I think is the best junior in town, better than kids at Gorman and Finley. He's got like 6 or 7 scholarship offers. So I'm thinking, we got a solid 7 guys here. Nobody's going to call and complain. All day, dude. Emails, phone calls. How could you leave this guy off? How could you leave that guy off? What do I do? I mean, do we make it to Sun Super 20 and then get more phone calls?
I don't think that would sound very good because the S. Maybe
Super 17.
Super 17. No, I think 7 is the right number, and I personally, I think you did a good job selecting it, Ray. Nice job. I don't know. There's a lot of great kids, and everyone knows that. All coaches and obviously parents want their own kids on the team, but I don't have any fault with where we wound up. That being said, We should give some props to some of the next kids, maybe the second team. Who are some guys you're looking at today that you think can really play a big factor this year, although they might not have made our preseason team?
Okay, well, your favorite player from Paolo Winder.
I love Aris Winder. Okay, he would have been my vote for I'm not going to say in place of who, but if it was my vote alone, I would have had him as probably the seventh best player in town.
We had about 10, and we had to trim it down to 7. Or we had a solid 5.5, and then we had to come up with the other 1.5. And Winder, the junior from Paolo, was on the list. Watch the TV game. They're doing a TV game Sundays, 1 or 2 o'clock on Channel 14. It's Vegas TV. I watched parts of that. It was Paolo Foothill. Paolo pushes the ball like UNLV. Bam, 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 up the court. Winder's awesome, all over. So he's one of the players. Another guy, Darrell McDonald. MVP of the Halloween tournament, as I'm told from his AAU coach who called me. And I guess last year he played at a prep school. This year he's back at Green Valley. He's a state high jump champ from Green Valley. And apparently he's being recruited. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's been a four-year varsity guy and probably a guy that we should have given a little bit of a closer look to.
He was at Del Sol, correct?
Del Sol is a freshman. Green Valley is a sophomore. Out of town as a junior, back as a senior, and probably one of the better players in that Southeast division.
Yeah, so now he's at Green Valley. I know another kid that I heard maybe we should have given consideration to, and you might, I don't know, the kid from Centennial. The Allen kid, I saw he scored, I think, 30 points against Coronado the other night, so I know he's up there, too.
Yeah, he's up there, too. He's one of two twins, right?
Yeah. And Marcus and Malcolm Allen, but I think the Marcus kid either had, like, 28, 29, 30 points against Coronado.
And both of those kids are getting looks from, like, Air Force and maybe Stanford, and, yeah, we probably missed out on those kids as well. But they were in consideration. It's not like we totally didn't know they existed. Totally in consideration. That's all. Who else do we have in the list that we were considering?
That seems about it. Well, was there another kid from Paolo, or was it just Winder?
Oh, Matlock.
Yeah, I was going to feel bad because I couldn't remember off the top of my head the other kid's name, but he's awfully good too.
I think with that backcourt, McDonald and Matlock, I think Paolo...
Winder and Matlock.
Yeah, who did I say?
You said McDonald.
So the guy who called the petition for McDonald got me so rattled, Kiefer. Okay, Matlock and Winder against the Allen twins. I think Centennial Paolo, always one of the most competitive, evenly matched games in the Northwest. I think it'll be so again this year.
Yeah, I know we don't really want to break down the teams too far today as we're still getting to know them. We'll have plenty of that every week here on Prep Sports Now. But for one thing I think I'm looking forward to this season is I am actually looking forward to seeing how that Northwest League plays out. I think last year it seemed like some of those games we covered were the better ones. It seems like a lot of those teams are evenly matched. Paolo and Centennial look like the best, but I know there's other teams there. There's Cimarron's always pretty good, right? Legacy's supposed to be better this year. I think that's
Cheyenne beat Clark.
Yeah, Cheyenne, super athletic, beat Clark, who's going to be really good this year. So I think the Northwest is going to be worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and in every sport, the Northwest is great. And you know, I like the Southeast, that Foothill Coronado rivalry. Coronado's got two big move-ins. Michael Loader now plays on the wing, and he's got a little pick and pop. I guess his game is comparable to Matt Shaw, the former Rebel, who could beat you on the inside and step out and hit the jumper. But everybody knows Michael. His one weakness is he's not tough enough, and apparently he's been taking the ball to the rack and scoring with authority. So I look forward to the Foothill Coronado rivalry games. As what's going to be the games in the Southeast. I think they're 1A and 1B out there, and everybody else kind of falls into place. And then the Northeast. I think the Northeast is going to be a great league. Canyon Springs, the defending state champs. I can't believe I said that.
Sea Springs!
They lose virtually everybody, but they got sophomore Shaquille Carr, who is supposed to be a real deal player. He's actually one of the better players for the class of 2014. Vegas obviously has got Hassan Henderson, Desert Pines with Julian Jacobs. El Dorado returns a lot from its team that nearly won the region last year and is going to be good. Unfortunately, their coach went to DP, took Julian Jacobs, their best player, and maybe one other guy. So it's kind of cutting the pie a little bit. So I think that league in Valley is going to be good as well. My Cowboys with a new coach holding it down. It's going to be, I think, the better league. Yeah, I think that's going to be a good league.
Chaparral was good last year. That was arguably maybe the best league last year. You could argue that. A couple things. You just went off, so I was thinking things in my head to mention. Poor Shaquille Carr, is he going to be the next kid in the infamous line of kids whose names you can't pronounce? You just called him Shaquille Care or something like that.
Shaquille Carr?
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay. Shaquille Carr. I do remember hearing about when Canyon Springs made their state championship run last year. Everyone was talking about how good that senior class was, and of course they deserved all the accolades they got, but I also heard some assistants tell me and people around the program saying, hey, there's some really good young kids that are going to come and kind of be the next group next year, and I think that's going to start this year. So I think Canyon Springs, look for them to be really tough by the end of the year.
Yeah, and that freshman team last year that had Shaquille Carr and all the players from that good Canyon Springs football program beat Gorman's freshman team last year. I don't know if that says much because I don't know how many kids from that Gorman freshman team will eventually be on the varsity, but they did beat them in a tournament.
Yeah, and another team that I want to at least make sure I mention, Coronado, of course, won the Southeast last year, but I'm just like you, I'm looking forward to that Coronado Foothill race. When we talk about Canyon Springs, I think you got to talk about Foothill. Foothill gave them Canyon Springs probably the best game of anyone in the playoffs, maybe outside of Sierra Vista. I know that Foothill had a couple juniors last year that were
lost
really good.
The buzzer.
Yeah, they lost at the buzzer to Canyon Springs. I know they've got some guys back, and I think Foothill definitely worth looking out for and maybe is going to win the Southeast.
Yeah, and another team to look out for, or at least it has piqued my curiosity, the Clark Chargers, the Washington Brothers transfer over from Western to Clark. Obviously, Contrell's part of our Super 7 team. I think they also got a sophomore from Arborview, so they're loaded and ready to go. I don't know how they lost to Cheyenne, so it's going to take a while to get that chemistry going, but they actually think they compete with Gorman. I don't buy into that, but that's what dreams are made of.
From what I've heard about Clark this year, they're kind of giving me this feeling that they are like the Sierra Vista of last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Sierra Vista got some kids in. They had, like, some of their core players were becoming seniors, and we saw them go on to almost even win the state championship. They almost beat Canyon Springs and then probably would have beat Bishop Minogue. I'm kind of getting that feeling for Clark. They think they can kind of be like that kind of team this year.
We can, but, you know, Sierra right away at least proved themselves. Clark has yet to do so, my humble opinion. Listen, next week, folks, We'll give you a little bit better of outlook, who we think might win some things. Prep Sports Now, we're closing the door on football. Gorman, as predicted here by Case and I, not like we went out on a limb. The state champions, Hoop about the start, Shabazz Muhammad, the best player in the city and the nation. Talk to you later, brother.